Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. And today we're on text number 2, which is on page 3. Yavataha kritavan prashnan. Yavata kritavan prashnan. Kshata kosharava agrataha. Kshita kosharavagrataha. Jata eka bhaktihi govinde. Jata eka bhaktir govinde. Tebhyaha cha upararama ha. Tebhyascho pararamaha. Yavata kritavan prashnan. Kshata kosharavagrataha. Jataika bhaktir govinde. Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah kritavan prasnan.
Yavatah kritavan prasnan.
Kshatta kausharava grataha.
Kshatta kausharava grataha.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Tebhyas chopararamaha.
Tebhyas chopararamaha. Yavatan kritavan prashnan. Kshatta kosharavagrataha. Bhakti govinde. Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Yavatah kritavan prashnan.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Kshatta kosharavagrataha.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Jataika bhaktir govinde.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Tebhyascho pararamaha.
Yavatah
kritavan prashnan. Kshatta kosharavagrataha. Jataika bhaktir govinde. Tebhyascho pararamaha. Yavataha. All that. Kritavan. Did he put? Prashnan. Questions. Kshata, A name of Vidura.
Kosharava.
A name of Maitreya. Agrataha. In the presence of Jata. In the presence of. Excuse me, my mistake. Jata. Having grown up. Eka. One. Bhaktihi. Transcendental loving service. Govinde. Unto Lord Krishna. Tepyaha. Regarding further questions. Cha. And. Upararama. Retired from. Ha. In the past. Translation. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni. Please repeat. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vidura retired from putting questions before Maitreya Muni when he was fully convinced by Maitreya Rishi that the summum bonum of life is to be finally situated in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna, who is Govinda, or one who satisfies his devotees in all respects. The conditioned soul, living being in material existence, seeks happiness by employing his senses in the modes of materialism, but that cannot give him satisfaction. He then searches after the supreme truth by the empiric philosophical speculative method and intellectual feats. But if he does not find the ultimate goal, he again goes down to material activities and engages himself in various philanthropic and altruistic works, which all fail to give him satisfaction. So, neither fruitive activities nor dry philosophical speculation can give one satisfaction, because by nature a living being is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and all the Vedic literatures give him direction towards that ultimate end. The Bhagavad Gita 15.15 confirms this statement. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam apohanang cha vedaischa sarvayaraham eva vedyo Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Is that the right verse?
Yes, sir.
It is? Okay. Like Vidura, an inquisitive conditioned soul must approach a bona fide spiritual master like Maitreya, and by intelligent inquiries must try to know everything about karma, fruitive activities, jnana, philosophical research for the supreme truth, and yoga, the linking process of spiritual realization. One who is not seriously inclined to put questions before a spiritual master need not accommodate a show bottle spiritual master, nor should a person who may be a spiritual master for others pose to be so if he is unable to engage his disciple ultimately in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna. Vidura was successful in approaching such a spiritual master like Maitreya, and he got the ultimate goal of life, bhakti unto Govinda. Thus, there was nothing to be known further about spiritual progress. Om ajnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militangyena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitangyena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati swapadantikam vande aham shri guru shri yuta padakamalang shri gurun vaishnavangsha Shri Rupang Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. We're in this blue book in the in the second yellow tab. Eight verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada, inspired by a Sanskrit poem from Sriman Kushakrata Das. Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhuvuha Chetastamohantihi Yasya Yatnad Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vyasadya Koshang Kushalang Kripaluhu Sanmlecha Vagdesha Chayeta Tatyas Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarka Drishya Govinda Murti Ujvala Bhaskarena Advaita Kadyota Kulang Jagatyang Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Yatnena Purana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hangsa Satstotra Ratna Vahiti Haloke Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandirishu Aropayadyo Madhure Prativyang Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Kaushalya Dair Yasya Sahasra Shastra Shastrati Varshaik Pratihanyatehi Chanda Kaler Mohachamur Hatena Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nana Lasad Gauras Prakasha Palakshita Stapita Eva Yena Krishnanu Chinta Jana Sangha Brikshas Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivikishu Nijasu Shikshasu Tusangugami Kripam Budhir Nanda Sutashutatma Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Taitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yojvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Kuruna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhume Swang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Dvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnang Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavatarang Bhaktakyang Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojau Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevyamano Smarami Srimad Rasara Sarambhi Vangshibata Tatakstitaha Karshan Venu Svanayar Gopir Gopinatak Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavashacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papadma Naparadhi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame King Bruve Purushottama Yuvatinang Yata Yuni Yunang Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Bhi Ramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatang Twai Bhumaus kalita padanam bhumireva avalambanam Twai jata paradhanam twameva sharanam prabho Govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye twamahang sada Twadiyam apijanatu govindo mang twayasaha Radhe vrindavanadhishe karunamrita vahini Kripaya nijapadabja dasyang mahyang pradiyatam Vande nanda vrajastrinang padarenum apikshnasaha Yashang harikator gitam punati bhuvanatrayam Nama shreshtang manamapi sachiputra matvar surupam Shri rupang tasyagra jamuru puring maturing goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaram aho radhika madhavashang Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi Adadanas trinang dantair idang yache punak punaha Srimad rupa padam bhoja rajohang syam bhave bhave Hantayam madrir abala haridasya varyo Yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha Manang tanoti sahago ganayostayoryat Paniya suya basa kandara kandamulahi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Jai. So this chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Quits Home, will consist mainly of instructions by the great Vidura when he comes back to Hastinapur after the war is over. Dhritarashtra is staying with the Pandavas, living at their mercy, and he's very old. And Vidura, his half-brother, comes to tell him, now you should go to the forest and take up devotional service. Take up pure spiritual practices. So here, the beginning of the chapter, we heard last time about how he had received knowledge from the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya, and that discussion between Maitreya and Vidura takes up a good part of at least the third canto, a very long part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, just like now we're hearing the discussion between Suta Goswami, he's telling about Maitreya and Vidura, and he's speaking to the sages at Naimasharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. And then at the end of the first canto, he talks about how Shukadev Goswami came together with Parikshit Maharaj, and then he starts talking about the discussion between the questions that King Parikshit is asking and Shukadev Goswami is answering. And then in the course of that discussion, Shukadev Goswami begins narrating about how Vidura met with Maitreya and how they had these discussions, including a whole summary of Krishna's pastimes takes place there in the third canto with the discussions between Maitreya and Vidura. And Vaishasika was telling us last time about how Krishna at that time was winding up his pastimes. This was well after the Battle of Kurukshetra. And Vidura had been traveling on pilgrimage. Uddhava followed Krishna. When Uddhava saw that Krishna was leaving Dwarka and going away, Uddhava couldn't bear to be separated, and he followed him. And then he met him in a sacred place in the forest, and Krishna imparted instructions to Uddhava. And as Vaishasika was explaining, by providence, the sage Maitreya, who was wandering in the forest, happened to come upon that scene, and so he happened to benefit from hearing Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And then Krishna instructed Uddhava to travel to the north to go to Bhadrika Ashram. And just then Krishna left, and just then Vidura contacted Uddhava and wanted to be instructed by him. But Uddhava had his orders to go to Badrinath, but also because of the proper etiquette that Maitreya was his elder. He said, no, you should take instruction from Maitreya, who's nearby and who's fully competent to be your spiritual master. So Vidura went to Maitreya and had these discussions with Vidura. And in his discussions with Vidura, he satisfied Vidura in every respect, that Vidura became fully conversant with the practice of devotional, so with the science of devotional service, including what is karma, what is jnana, what is yoga, and what is pure devotional service, and became completely fixed in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna after putting many questions to Vidura and being satisfied by the answers and showing the example of how the guru-disciple relationship works. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna satisfies Arjuna's questions. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna, now have you understood everything? Is your illusion fully gone? Is there anything else? Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna is prepared to re-explain any topic he's explained or to recite the whole Bhagavad Gita over if need be. But Arjuna tells him, no, my illusion is dispelled and now I'm prepared to follow your instructions. Do what you say. Right? Krishye vachanantava. So this is the nature of the guru-disciple relationship. As we were describing earlier, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, as he is, through one's own endeavors. But it's only by surrendering at the lotus feet of a qualified, bona fide spiritual master and putting forth relevant questions and receiving the answers in a mood of humility, submission, and willing service that one can be fully enlightened as to the nature of Krishna and one can be established in his devotional service. And all the Vedas, all the Vedic literatures, they extol this process of the guru-disciple relationship and how a devotee must go, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshana. Or as Krishna says in, is it Krishna? Oh, no, I don't know who says in the 11th canto, but... Tadvijnanartham sa gurum eva bhigacchet. Samitpani stotriyam brahmanishtam. Anyway, the Upanishads also explain that one must get a guru. I may have been quoting from the wrong places. Did you find something, Shraddha? Let's look in this book. And they have a subject index. Look at guru for a minute. We just had an initiation ceremony last night. It was very topical. Guru, see spiritual master. Okay. So we have to look under S. Let's find some verses. Spiritual master. I'll just read the index because I think it's enlightening. Spiritual master, guru. Arjuna accepts Krishna as Bhagavad Gita 2:7. As deliverer of the fallen souls, Guru Vashtika 1, as non-different from Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:17-27, become by preaching Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 7:128, can come from any varna or ashrama, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8:128, can elevate one to a brahmana, unknown source, fills heart with transcendental knowledge, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, has all the qualities of demigods, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Holy place personified, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Initiation by a part of developing, okay, initiation by a guru is part of developing faith. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15.16. Page 400. Let me look at that one. Page 400. Oh, I guess it's Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya Tato Nartana Vritti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchistata Tata Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Abhyut Danchati Sadhakanam Ayang Premna Pradhur Bhave Bhavet Kramaha. So thereafter, after one begins associating with devotees, then bhajana kriya, one is initiated in by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Tato Nartav Nirvritti Syat. So the initiation is the third stage. First stage is one develops a little faith. Second stage is one associates with pure devotees. Third stage is one accepts initiation and becomes engaged in regular service. And then the fourth stage is there's this process by that regulated service of becoming free from all unwanted things, anarthas. Therefore, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of that stage of anartha nivritti. Instructions of the guru must be kept in the heart, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, must set a good example, Bhagavad Gita 3.21. Mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception are not in the guru, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 2.86. One must accept, 4.34, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.174, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.321, and Mundaka Upanishad 1.212. So let's first look at Srimad Bhagavatam 11.321 on page 268. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasuk shreya uttamam shabde pare cha nishnatam brahmanyu pashamashrayam. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. This is Prabuddha Yogendra instructing King Nimi. So there are nine Yogendras, and Prabuddha instructs about this. Mundaka Upanishad, page 360. It's the 1-12 of Mundaka Upanishad. Page 360. Tadvijnanartham sagurum eva bigachet samitpani shrotriyang brahmanishtam. Tadvijnana artam, to learn that transcendental subject matter. Saha, one, gurum, a spiritual master, eva, certainly, abhigachet, must approach, samitpanihi, carrying firewood in his hand, shrotriyam, expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, brahmanishtam, constantly engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To learn the transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And let's look at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.174 on page 395. Adau Gurvashrayam Saddharma Pricha Sadhu Marga Nugamanam. In the beginning, one should accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and inquire submissively about religious principles. He should then desire to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord. So, Vidura was already a great personality. As we know, he's an incarnation of Yamaraj. And we know the story of how Yamaraj was cursed by Mundak Muni. Eh? He was cursed to take birth in the womb of a Shudrani. And so Vidura was born as the son of the maidservant of Ambalika. And although he was already a great personality, he was one person within the family who was able to point out that Duryodhana was misleading his father, and that the Pandavas were very saintly, qualified, and rightfully heirs to the throne and should be supported and not envied. And for speaking the truth in this way, he was insulted by Duryodhana, and he took sannyas. He left his bow in the doorway, the symbol of his kshatriya social status, and he went traveling throughout the holy places and talking to saintly persons and visiting temples and living as a renunciate. And then when he met Maitreya, he became his disciple. He satisfied him in all respects. He asked him questions pertaining to Krishna. Those kind of questions are all auspicious for the world, and they're able to fully satisfy the self. And Maitreya answered him, describing all the pastimes of Krishna. Of course, Krishna was known to Vidura. In his youthful life, Krishna was a neighboring prince and related by marriage to the Pandavas. And Krishna was known to Vidura. But Maitreya explained his actual position in great detail as the personality of Godhead. And Vidura became established in the transcendental loving service of Krishna. And when he was completely full of spiritual knowledge and full of his devotion to Krishna, he had no further questions to put to Vidura. And he returned to Hastinapur, where he will instruct his half-brother, Dhritarashtra. Like Vidura, an inquisitive conditioned soul must approach a bona fide spiritual master like Maitreya, and by intelligent inquiries must try to know everything about karma, fruit of activities, jnana, philosophical research for the absolute, for the supreme truth, and yoga, the linking process of spiritual realization. One who is not seriously inclined to put questions before a spiritual master need not accommodate a show bottle spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada used to say that one doesn't accept a spiritual master as a fashion. You know, that just like it's fashionable to have a dog, you know, you say, oh, look, I have this kind of dog. It's a, you know, Russian wolfhound or something like that, or a shih tzu or something like that. So sometimes people find it's fashionable to say, oh, I'm a disciple of such and such swami, such and such guru. But what's the point of being a disciple of a guru unless one is actually following his instructions, making the relevant inquiries, and becoming fixed in devotional service of Lord Govinda? That's the reason one takes a guru, one to get that knowledge, tadvijnan artham, to get out of this material world, not to be able to, you know, I'm the kind of person that drives this kind of car, and I have that kind of guru, and I have this house in that neighborhood, you know, That is not the point of having a spiritual master. Nor is it, as Srila Prabhupada says, nor should a person who may be a spiritual master for others pose to be so if he's unable to engage his disciple ultimately in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada would describe that there's the cheaters and the cheated. So if someone wants a guru as a fashion, you'll be able to find someone who's happy to be flattered by people, especially they want to get disciples among the rich and famous, and say, oh, so-and-so, he's a disciple of me, and increase their fame. But what's the point if they don't actually make the disciple into a devotee of Krishna? So bona fide spiritual master preaches this Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the disciples should become well fixed in understanding of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, not just academic understanding, but in actually following the teachings and achieving love of Krishna. That's the point. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you told like the following instruction is very important of Guru, like when we accept. So like when we get initiation, thus whether we get more strength from Guru to follow the instruction or...
Yes, you'll get the strength from the Guru. Not just necessarily that at initiation something magic happens. You're already taking shelter before initiation. You're examining the spiritual master. The spiritual master is examining you for some period of time. But to the extent that you're actually developing that Guru Bhakti, then you're getting strength to follow. That spiritual strength comes from bhakti. So you're getting strength to live in a regulated way, to regulate and control the senses. And the spiritual master is expert in recognizing what the disciple needs, how much the disciple can take, to actually wean the disciple away from being a materialistic person and to become a loving devotee, lover of Krishna. And the spiritual master prescribes, just like in ISKCON, all the spiritual masters prescribe at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna every day for an initiated disciple. Maybe they may say to a beginner, before you get initiated, you want to start with 4 or some smaller number, but be steady. And then when you become initiated, you must take a vow that I will chant 16 every day and I will refrain from the 4 sinful activities. So those are the 4 rules. So yes, one will get strength because of one in proportion to one's faith in the spiritual master, one will also get the strength to carry out the instructions. And the spiritual master will give one the strength. Because the spiritual master is accepted as a representative, as a direct manifestation of Krishna, being a representative. Not that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he is a dear servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's accepted as directly Godhead, just like one accepts an ambassador from a king, and one has to accept him as if he's the king, as if he's the king of that country, and as if he's the country itself. That one shows one's whole respect and proper due treatment of the country and its citizens and everything it stands for by showing proper respect and giving proper reception to its ambassador. So, therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastra Tastata Bhavyata Eva Shadbhi. This is declared in all scriptures. Acharya Mam Vijaniyat. One should know the Acharya to be myself, Krishna says to Uddhava. One should know the Acharya is myself. But then he says, Kintu Prabhurya Priya Evatasya. But because he's the dear servant of Krishna. And that strength is really coming through the disciplic succession from Krishna himself. It's all coming from Krishna himself.
Thank you.
So this system of, one must surrender to the spiritual master, accepting him as God, and following his orders. This is the only way to actually achieve Krishna, and yet at the same time, it is, as we just read, it could be subject to abuse by cheaters and cheated. It's not simply an excuse for materialistic people to assume the authority of God. Srila Prabhupada used to say, because there's counterfeit money somewhere, you can know that there's real money. Not that you think that, like there are many people, atheists, disillusioned people, who, having experienced that there's cheating religion in the world, or there's people who assume the authority of God based on their scriptures and their dogmas, and then they try to use that for political ends, to get control people and get everyone, you must do what I say, I'm the priest of Apollo, whatever. And so then frustrated people become atheistic. Nobody knows everything, they say. Nobody can really know. If you ask them to read Bhagavad Gita, why should I read Bhagavad Gita? What do I need that for? Because this is the word of Krishna himself, of God himself. Oh, there can't be any God. How could there be God? And if there is, how? There's no scripture that his words are there. Nobody knows. Nobody, that you hear that. You meet frustrated people like that all the time. They don't want to follow any authority because they're frightened that giving someone so much authority is a formula for abuse. But Srila Prabhupada would say, just because there's counterfeit money, that doesn't mean that there isn't such a thing as real money. In fact, it means that there must be such a thing as real money. So people gain authority by pretending to be spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master. That should indicate to us that there really is, if we're really sincere, we will find a spiritual master who can teach us everything, who can teach us about Krishna, his name, form, pastimes, how to engage in his service, and can engage us in his service. And Srila Prabhupada says that here, that Gurur Nasasyat, right, the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to his 100 sons, he says, one should not become a guru, nor should one become a mother or father, nor should one become a king or a demigod or worshipable person. One should not accept a position of authority unless one is qualified to actually give the real thing to his dependents, that is, liberation from birth and death. That's what he says, liberation from birth and death. Unless you can actually give that to your dependents, you want to, why be a father of children? As it says in Hamlet, why be a breeder of sinners in this world? Why be a father of children unless one wants to make the children into successful people? They need a body. There are souls waiting. They need a body, human body, where they can then learn how to control the mind and senses, achieve the perfection of yoga, and go back to Krishna consciousness. Go back to Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, back to Godhead. So I don't know how late it's getting, maybe we should just start taking questions and comments now, and realizations. Hasapriya. Why be a breeder of sinners? Of course, in Hamlet, he's very confused. He's not speaking from the transcendental platform there. The prince, he wants to kill his uncle to avenge his father's death. And he chastises his mother. Why be a breeder of sinners in this world? I don't remember the whole speech. It's a beautiful writing. Krishna's the ability in man. In the English language, Krishna somehow endowed this author, William Shakespeare, with great power to, you know, to really shape the whole English language. And his sonnets, you know, there was this form of poetry called sonnets, and then Shakespeare just nailed it, you know. And then some of these plays like Othello and King Lear and Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet and so many plays, comedies and things like that. He made so many turns of phrases that actually entered into the English language, and now we say things, you know, slings and arrows, or rich and strange, or, you know, we have all these little phrases that were all coined by William Shakespeare in his different plays and things. So, questions and comments about this Srimad Bhagavatam verse and realizations? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone. Brihat Radanga.
Hare Krishna. Once I was hearing Radhana Swami Maharaj lecture, and he was giving the parallels, like in this case, like Vidura and Dhritarashtra. Similarly, if we go for Ramayana, so there, the Vibhishan was playing the same role of Vidura, and he was instructing his brother Ravana, but Ravana could not take his instruction till the last time. And similarly, if you go to Prahlad Maharaj section, Prahlad Maharaj is also like his well-wisher of his father, Hiranyakasipu, but he also could not take the instructions from his son. So this all parallels exist between different scriptures, where it shows like the near, they could not take the instruction from their near one, but they love them like and more than they and anyone else.
So Hiranyakashipu could not take the good instructions of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah.
And Ravana could not take the good instructions of Vibhishana.
Yeah.
And so Vidura, yeah, Dhritarashtra
could not take from
could
Vidura.
Not take. So we're going to read in this chapter about Vidura's instructions to Dhritarashtra. After it's all over. But Vidura could take the instructions from Maitreya Muni and show the good example of how to properly take the instructions, as Arjuna took from Krishna. So it's the duty of the disciple to ask questions, pertinent questions, not meaningless questions, not to just come up with some, you know, silly, irrelevant questions. We were always trying to come up with questions for Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes we failed. So the spiritual master should be qualified. And on the car, I was coming over in the car, I was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, a reception address, and he was describing that if we take the instructions of Krishna, this is the bona fide spiritual master. What is the bona fide spiritual master? He cites Krishna's version, right? He cites Krishna's words, Krishna's authority, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, he doesn't say, it's my opinion that, you know, I think perhaps, or I've come up with a theory that, no. But he gives you what he has heard, exactly as he heard in disciplic succession from his spiritual master, the instructions of Krishna. And then it is perfect. He said, Srila Prabhupada said, he may not be 100% perfect, but if he's only telling you what Krishna says, to that degree he's perfect. That's his perfection. And if you take that instruction and you only accept what Krishna says and you only speak what Krishna says, then you present what Krishna says and you engage, then you become perfect. Then you will very quickly achieve all perfection. Don't take shelter of your own opinions and concoctions and speculations. So many, he said, there are so many professor frogs, doctor frogs. You can see actually it is a class. He's speaking about the Bhagavad Gita, like verses 7 through chapter 2, verses 7 through 20 or something like that. And one devotee is reading to him these verses and he's stopping and saying, there, you know. And he's talking about Ashochanan Vashochastvang Pragyavadang Shabhashase. And he says, Arjuna is speaking like a learned man, but he's not. But Krishna can observe by his activities, by his mood, his everything, that he's lamenting for something that's not worthy of lamentation. The verse before that, he's saying that Krishna is smiling. Arjuna is so serious. You know, I have to fight this battle. And he's crying, and his bow is slipping from his hand, and everything. And Krishna is just smiling. Prasanniva Bharata. He's beginning to instruct Arjuna. He has a half smile on his lips. He's not disturbed at all. And he says, you're talking so many learned words, but you can see that you're not a person in knowledge. You're not behaving like a person in knowledge. And he said, there are so many professor frogs. They're, you know, have big authority, and they're the big intellectual geniuses that everyone follows, and their teachings and their writings. And they... But actually they have no knowledge of Krishna, and they can't deliver anyone this Krishna consciousness. So the bona fide spiritual master, he delivers Krishna's instructions as it is, not by adding or subtracting anything and becoming proud that, I've got a new wrinkle on the Bhagavad Gita. You know, and he, specifically in this lecture, he criticized that Dr. Radhakrishnan says, when Krishna says, think of me, he says, not Krishna, don't think of Krishna. He says, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakta, he says, don't think of Krishna. Krishna doesn't mean to think of him, he means to think of the unborn within him. And Srila Prabhupada says, this is the greatest fool. If you think that there's Krishna is not supreme, that there's something within him that's superior to him, that as if, like, he says, I'm not this body, right? I have a spirit soul inside my body. So if you think Krishna's like that, he's got a material body and then there's something inside him, then you haven't understood Krishna at all. You haven't understood the first thing about Krishna. And you're the greatest fool. And therefore, no matter how qualified you are with university degrees and, having position as a great statesman and, famous scholar who's very thoroughly studied many, many, many books, but you don't know Krishna, so you shouldn't speak about Bhagavad Gita. Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
So, like you were saying, one thought came to my mind that the story of Ramayana, that Ravan was actually a big, he used to do a lot of penances and a lot of tapasya for Lord Shiva, and he was very, very materially accomplished, and he had a lot of powers, but still he did not know about Lord Krishna, Lord Rama. He did not pray to the Supreme Absolute, so he was, all of it was useless. So that thought came to my mind.
Similarly, Duryodhana was very qualified to be a king. Why not? But he was envious of the devotees of Krishna, so he was fit to be killed. Yes.
Once Prabhupada tells, why these rascals use the Bhagavad Gita? If they want to write their own opinion, then they should not use Bhagavad Gita. They should use some other book.
Yes. Exactly. The other day I was speaking about Bhagavad Gita and I was saying Krishna's establishing devotional service to him is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and all the other paths of jnana, karma, yoga is all really meant for becoming a pure devotee of Krishna, bhakti. And then after the lecture, the man came up, and a very learned man, very knew all the shlokas, knew Sanskrit very well, and I was talking to someone else and he came in and he said, no, actually, you have to realize only Rig Veda. It all comes from Rig Veda. So he wanted to explain Bhagavad Gita, but he wanted to explain it differently from what Bhagavad Gita says. So he was trying to take this tactic, and he was saying, Rig Veda starts, Sarva Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, so you have to understand that it's really non-dual, and there's no devotion, and there's no, you know. And then, you know, I was able to say, but Shvetashvatara Upanishad says there's three conceptions of Brahman. The material field of activities is Brahman, but it's But the conditioned souls are trying to control it and enjoy it. And the jivas themselves are Brahman, but they're thinking themselves controllers of material nature. And the controller of both of them is also Brahman, but he's the factual controller. So you have to understand Brahman in this way, that it's not that just because Krishna is Brahman and you are Brahman, that doesn't mean you are equal to Krishna, right? But that's the point was they want to say, oh, I like Bhagavad Gita, but they don't like the message of Bhagavad Gita. So then they say, well, no, you have to look somewhere else. They're trying to find some other scripture. They can shoehorn their atheistic philosophy into Bhagavad Gita. They're so convinced of the atheistic conclusion that all the Vedas are preaching atheism and that we're supposed to merge and become one and realize we're God. But actually, if you properly understand the Vedas, that's just the beginning, that's just the preliminary realization of the absolute truth. Yes, non-duality is there, everything is Brahman, but still, the absolute truth is sentient and has creativity and power. If you say that you have form but he has no form, you have activities but he has no activities, you're making the absolute less than you. So you have to understand that's not the teachings actually of the Upanishads and all the Vedic literatures and the Vedanta Sutra. It's not the teaching. But it's a philosophy that has been propounded by many people who are seemingly very learned, but because they have the atheistic mentality, they can't understand Bhagavad Gita the way Krishna. They can't understand Vedanta the way it's originally meant. Krishna is Vedanta Krit. Vedanta Krit Veda Videva Chaham. So one has to accept Krishna's version. Why go somewhere else and say, they're thinking, oh, Krishna didn't really speak the Bhagavad Gita. That's why. Or there is no Krishna. It's all this made-up story. Krishna is also Maya. That's the Mayavadis. Then, well, Krishna comes, he's a manifestation of the mode of material goodness or something like that. No, Krishna is the source of the material modes of nature. He's the source of the spiritual nature as well. Etat yonini bhutani sarvanityupataraya aham kritsnasya jagata prabhavak pralayastata matak parataraṁ nānyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidang protang sutre manigana iva. Krishna himself, the person Krishna, he's the highest thing that everything is resting on, like a thread that all the pearls are strung on. All of creation is resting on Krishna, the personal Krishna. And the impersonal absolute truth is just the effulgence of his beautiful form, the shining rays of his effulgence. Yes, Shraddha.
Just one comment and one question. The comment was that when you were talking about Lord Krishna endowed Shakespeare with so many capabilities of writing, I remember reading, and this was a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure the figures have changed, but at that time they said that English had some 30,000 words in it, the English language, and mostly we use about 3,000, 4,000, or if you are very qualified, we use about 8,000 in our writings. And Shakespeare had used 15,000 of the words from English. So that was one point.
And now I remembered where the speech, don't be a breeder of sinners, it's when he's chastising, when Hamlet is chastising Ophelia. It's not when he's talking to his mother, but he's chastising Ophelia. And he's saying, get thee to a nunnery. And, become... Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Was Shakespeare also was he atheistic?
He's creative, and he takes all sides of every argument. So he presents atheistic and theistic, the culture of his time, Elizabethan England, was a Christian culture, a theistic culture. And so he has so many beautiful, like one time Vaishasika was quoting that from the Merchant of Venice, the quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath, it is twice blessed. So this is a very theistic idea that God is merciful and therefore the kings in this world who have to do justice in this world should temper their justice with mercy so that earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy tempers justice. And then, but that speech is an anti-Semitic speech by Portia because the villain is a Jewish moneylender. In that time, Christians were not permitted to get interest on loans. Just like in modern times, Muslims still don't, they have to find ways to, you know, get mortgages for their homes that aren't really paying interest. They design it in such a way that they can get a mullah to bless it and say, well, this isn't really interest, it's some other kind of thing, another. But in effect, it does the same thing. So the Jewish people didn't have such a prohibition, and so they became the bankers of society. And so in that story, a Jewish banker had lent money to a Venetian cargo lot. You know, they would have ships that would go to the Orient, to India and things like that, and come back with silks, and they would sell them. So he had lent money to his ship, and his ship hadn't come in. And the terms of the money, the loan was, you know, if you don't pay me back in time, I can take 1 pound of flesh from your body. So then the girl that loved the Italian merchant, she went to plead his case. And she said, yes, so he made that bargain, and so in the course of justice, perhaps you're entitled to your pound of flesh, but you shouldn't insist on justice, you should temper justice with mercy. So she said, therefore, Jew, though justice be your plea, consider this, that in the course of justice none of us shall find salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer teaches us to render the deeds of mercy. So she's basically invoking Christianity, you know, complaining that the Jewish laws is too rules and regulations oriented and is forgetting the importance of grace. Similarly, one could say that the rules of brahmanas, you know, who are learned in all the dharma shastras and stuff like that, if they don't know the purpose behind it, if they don't know that the purpose is to achieve, to awaken loving devotional service to the Lord and avoid becoming implicated in the meshes of vikarma and the reactions to bad, you know, to actions, then they may become like that, Vedavada Ratas, you know, all concerned about the letter of the law but not understanding the spirit of God, which is a merciful spirit and a forgiving spirit and a spirit of actually encouraging. One can become very... I was saying this the other night. There's in the story of Ajamil, there's a commentary by Sridhar Swami, and he's saying that one who doesn't know about the Mrita Sanjeevani medicine, which can bring a dead person back to life, and it's nectar, right? And if one doesn't know about that, then they'll take the tree kattu, three bitter medicines, nim and some other things. They're very bitter and hard to take. So he was in his ecstasy. Prabhupada said this is not for neophytes, but in his ecstasy he was slighting the great authorities of religion, Parashara Muni, Lord Manu, by making all these elaborate rules and rituals for atonement and for you know, performing jagyas so that you'll be protected from the sins that one unconsciously commits and so forth. And he says that really, just by chanting Hare Krishna, one accomplishes the same thing in a much sweeter way. So Shakespeare had some theistic things, and also he takes every side, and it was part of his you know, passion of his imagination, that all his different characters take every side of all the arguments. And But it's interesting because it's 16th century. It's the time of, it's the time of Lord Chaitanya. Well, not Lord Chaitanya, but the time of Jiva Goswami, or time of, at least of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And the modern science was just beginning to start. Like, was it not Newton was later, but I'm thinking of. Francis Bacon, I think, was part of the Queen Elizabeth's court, And he was writing about the scientific method and stuff like that. And it's interesting how they still believed in the soul. They were trying to work it all out. You know, Descartes hadn't written yet. It was the beginning of this modern worldview. And you see it reflected. They talk about, you know, like he talks about the heavens and the God. And also he brings in, which was common in his time in Renaissance and literature, that he brings in the pagan gods as well. You know, it's just the Christians were strictly monotheistic. We were talking before about transcendence and the idea of going to the temple of Athena or the temple of Apollo or Ares or whatever that the Romans and Greeks were doing, that became anathema to Christians who were following this Jewish monotheistic tradition and would criticize that people that worship the demigods are heathens and pagans. But at the same time, the poets, they never gave up talking about Cupid and Apollo and, you know, sometimes too hot, the eye of heaven shines and often is his gold complexion dimmed. The impersonalism of the monotheistic Judeo-Christian tradition was just not poetic enough to encompass these things. So Shakespeare would often invoke Greek and Roman gods, as other Renaissance writers would, but they weren't part of an actual cult of properly worshiping. You know, the eye of heaven being the sun god. It wasn't like he was a devotee of Surya or something like that. They just saw it as a kind of literary device, a metaphor or a trope or whatever, simile, where they would talk about the gods, being that an educated person would have to know the classics, would have to know the Greek and Roman poets and authors and their mythology. And all the... You go to the art museums and things, all of the European painting, the 19th century, the French symbolists and, they're all, or the Renaissance paintings, although they had Christian themes, they were also classical themes, Apollo, Diana turning into a tree and Apollo is chasing her, or whatever, all of these images from the classical world. So that informs, this is one great Indo-European culture, you might say, that the Greco-Roman gods are really coming from, the Vedas, Vedic gods. You can recognize to a certain extent. It's not all perfect, it's not all exactly right. It's been, in the course of time, the science was lost and it became changed. Homer was writing, about 800 BC or 1000 BC or something like that. So, already by that time, original, and even the Egyptian gods, there are relations, there are corollaries, there are, people can see how they're coming from Vedic culture. But they were older, closer to the time of Krishna, but also they were geographically far away from India. So is it time for Guru Puja now, or? So that we're part of this big. So that we're part of this big culture, and this Krishna consciousness movement is destined to become the culture of the whole world at some point. And it's the highest. We're talking about how it's not through speculation and knowledge that one understands the absolute truth, but through bhakti. But that bhakti is concurrent with, or is as its servants, along with bhakti comes all the great qualities of detachment and knowledge and sense control. And so I wanted to quote you this verse where Narada was instructing Vyasadeva to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, that well, there's two places he says it in the in chapter 5. He says, he tells him to, he gives him all the reasons why pure devotional service should be delineated for all people. And then he says, idang hi pungsas tapasash shrutasya va shvishtasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayoho avichyutartha kavibhir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is this, Srila Prabhupada says, it's a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of society, and it's the ultimate literary presentation that encompasses all knowledge, all of our science, all of our politics, all of our moral philosophy and exhortations to people to be good people, and all of art and literature ultimately culminates in this glorification of Krishna that we find in such perfect way in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. One more point. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. I don't remember the context exactly, but you described that the false ego in the mode of passion is the intelligence, in the mode of ignorance, so and so.
By combination, the intelligence is generated. This is found in Lord Kapila Dev's instructions. He explains how all of the elements, just like we were reading in Brahma Samhita, how before their conglomeration in their nation state, there's all these elements existing. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how those elements, the ingredients, are created. There's different parts of creation. So the efficient cause is what mixes things together. And then the material cause is the actual elements themselves. And Krishna's the cause of both of them.
I was not able to comprehend is that the false ego is beyond the three modes or separate from the three modes.
The false ego is, it's actually close. It's so subtle. It's the false ego, and there's even another element sometimes referred to, and not all the time referred to, as contaminated consciousness. And so these are very subtle. The false ego is also an element of material creation, so it must be part of the three modes, but... I have to go back. I'll go back to Kapila Dev and check where does the false ego, how is the false ego generated? But it's from that original, somehow from the original turning away of the living entity when it wants to become a competitor of Krishna and not a servant of Krishna, then it's immediately cast into Krishna's material energy. And one of the elements of that energy is the false ego. And the false ego, of course, these are the creation of these elements, false ego, mind. Just like our body has fire in it, but there's also fire elsewhere in the world. Fire is an element. And similarly, we are, in our material body, we have a false ego that's covering us. But there's actually, other people have false egos too. There's false ego is one of the elements of the world. That's how the creation goes. But it must be, everything material is a combination of the three modes of nature. So it must be that the false ego is also generated from the three modes of nature. But then these different, the gross elements, fire, water, air, earth, and ether, ether is not quite gross, but they are generated from the false ego combining they are coming out of the false ego combining with the mode of ignorance. And then they combine... they're produced out of the conjunction of the sense and the sense object, the related sense and sense object. Like ether is related to the ear, and the sense of sound, or rather the object of the ear, which is sound. And then fire and taste is water, earth is smell, Yeah, air is touch and form, and fire is.
Prabhuji, how do we see that ego concept in the context of the Brahma Samhita, saying that Lord Shiva is the personification of the false ego, or?
Yes, so that may be the answer to your question, that that it's generated from the faculty of perverted cognition is generated from the dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Lord in his form as Lord Shiva. But this is technical stuff. We can study the third canto and try to understand it. I'm sorry, I'm not the master of that Sankhya.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So we'll have Guru Puja now. Do we have a kirtan leader in the house who would like to lead the kirtan? Nilesh?
Shyamchandra Prabhu, would you like to lead?
Shyamasundar? You lead kirtan?